Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. A new Meredith College poll makes clear that the gap between the views of average North Carolinians and officials dictating policy in the General Assembly and Congress continues to grow on a host of issues. For instance, despite the refusal of congressional and legislative Republicans to take action, nearly 80% of North Carolinians surveyed in the Meredith poll believe it's time to raise the minimum wage above $7.25 an hour. Most of those people said it needs to be $12 per hour or more. The polling found a similar disconnect between public opinion and the GOP blockade of Medicaid expansion. Recently, I got a chance to learn more about the polling results and what they say about the disconnect between voters and elected officials with the political scientist behind the poll, Meredith College professor David McLennan.
Well, David, welcome back to News and Views. Good to have you back with us.
And Rob, it's always good to be with you.
So a new Meredith College poll out with some really interesting findings on a variety of issues and political races. But I was thinking maybe at first you could tell our listeners, how do these polls get conducted? How do you all make them happen and turn the results into the numbers that we read on the in the press releases?
Yeah, well, I think it's interesting for your readers to know that there are a number of academic polls in the state of North Carolina, Meredith poll being one of them, Elon, High Point, East Carolina. We all incorporate polling as part of our teaching. So the basic way in which we do it is I sit down with one of my colleagues and some of our really good senior students who are taking research, and we bat around ideas for questions. And so every time we do a poll, it's in part generated from our students. So we test all the questions, we get all the questions ready to go, and in normal pre-COVID times, we'd have a whole room full of student callers that would be calling North Carolinians, and then we'd also do an online portion of the poll. Now that we're in COVID, unfortunately, I cannot have live student callers in a room, so we don't use student callers anymore, but we keep the online portion. So we end up contacting 700 or so North Carolinians with the various methods we use, get their results, and then I have students look at the results. I'm in charge of obviously the data analysis because I want to make sure it's right. But the students look at it and use it for whatever projects they're working on, and then we collectively produce the report. And so it is a process that comes together rather quickly over a couple week period. Then we put out our reports.
How often do you do them?
During normal times, we try to do at least two per semester, two in the spring, two in the fall for people who are not on an academic calendar. Because of just some limitations in terms of access to students, I'm only doing one this spring, but I'll get back next fall to doing two. And fortunately, I think we'll be able to use Meredith students as callers again in the fall.
Oh, great. Well, fingers crossed there. Well, the one that's just been released that is the subject of our discussion today is a lot of interesting findings. I guess, you know, you always ask this question to sort of get started. You know, what do people think about the direction of the state, the direction of the country? And it's probably not surprising that it sort of reflects people's partisan views, and then the relationship to who's sort of running things often influences the kind of results you get.
Yeah, and so when we asked the same question back in the fall before the election, we saw similar results. More people were dissatisfied with the direction of the country than satisfied. But the difference in the question about the direction of the country is that now Democrats are far more satisfied than Republicans. 6 months ago, it was quite the reverse. And you're exactly right. With the changeover in president and also control of the House and Senate being in Democratic hands, Republicans are just really not happy with the way the country's moving, but Democrats are.
Yeah.
And in the state of North Carolina, we haven't seen the changeover in the political players. So those results are kind of similar from our two polls in the fall. So slightly more North Carolinians are unhappy with the direction of the state. But the one finding I've consistently found over the course of doing the Meredith poll is that people like the direction of the state more so than they like the direction of the country.
That's interesting. Well, that they're more familiar with those politicians. It's closer to them. Presumably, I'm sure there are lots of explanations for it. It does seem that Governor Cooper and President Biden both generally getting okay reviews from respondents thus far. President Biden, of course, like a lot of presidents early in their term, maybe a bit of a honeymoon.
Yeah, so he's over 50%, and we never saw that during the Trump administration. But Biden is more the typical president. You know, we're still in the first 100 days. So, you know, people tend to be open-minded toward him. But there is still a huge partisan split in terms of Biden's approval, with, you know, Democrats being well over 90%, you know, approving Joe Biden's work as president, but Republicans, well under 20% of them, say Joe Biden's doing a good job. So these are, you know, pretty historic gaps between Democrats and Republicans. You know, go back to Reagan or even Clinton. You know, the other party generally saw the president doing a good job in the early days.
Now, there is perhaps a little more agreement, or at least some more impressive numbers when it comes to some of the issues you looked at. For instance, on some of the stuff with respect to the COVID response here in North Carolina, there still seems to be a lot of people who are very concerned about COVID, not real anxious for us just to plunge ahead and throw everything back to the way it was before the pandemic.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, to tie that back to the discussion of even Governor Cooper's approval, you know, I think we've seen since the COVID pandemic began, citizens have really kind of appreciated the cautious approach that the governor has taken to dealing with the pandemic. And I think, you know, the numbers about the mask mandate and the reopening of the state's businesses, you know, tend to reflect that cautious approach. Sometimes we see rallies around the state saying we need to reopen immediately. That really is a minority opinion among North Carolinians.
Yeah, it seemed that a very high percentage of people thought that masks were a good thing for people to keep wearing for the foreseeable future. Don't want to get rid of that mandate. They're maybe more open to the idea, and Governor Cooper has obviously taken action to reopen a lot of businesses, but they're still not ready to just throw everything open as perhaps has been tried, now being tried in places like Florida and Texas.
And, you know, we're starting to see, you know, in places like Florida, the numbers go back up. So I think North Carolinians are watching what is going on around the country and are saying, you know, maybe by the fall we'll be ready to fully reopen or think of, reconsider the mask mandate. But as of the spring of 2021, the slow approach may be the best.
We're talking with Meredith College political science professor and pollster David McLennan, a longtime frequent guest at News and Views. Let's talk about some of the other issues that your recent poll looked at. One that I was struck by was the minimum wage. That's one where it is pretty remarkable that it remains mired at $7.25 an hour. There's been a push in Congress to raise it to $15 over a period of several years, although that has so far foundered. But it does appear that North Carolinians share the view that we've seen in other states where they've actually had referenda on this, that people do think it's time to raise the minimum wage, and maybe even significantly.
So, you know, as you mentioned, you know, Florida, the state that went for President Trump in 2020, also voted to raise the minimum wage. And so, you know, we see that sentiment played out even in North Carolina, the desire of people, including Republicans, a good number of them, to raise the minimum wage is there, but we don't see the legislature considering it from a bill. You know, the question is, how high do you want to raise the minimum wage? That's where we do see some differences. Right. Democrats tend to want to see, you know, the $15 an hour number. Republicans tend to like a lower number, maybe $10 or $12 an hour as being the ceiling. But again, you know, the question with the minimum wage results are that legislature seems to be out of step with the majority of North Carolinians.
Yeah, by a large margin, really. And when I looked at it, I think I read it right, of the people who thought we should raise the minimum wage fully, I think maybe more than half thought $12 an hour or more was a reasonable level to go to. So it was, it's not just a minor bump. That would be one of the largest increases in history if we would actually take that action.
But I think, you know, that's because we end up talking to people, some of whom are, you know, on minimum wage, and they live it every single day.
Yeah. Another issue that unfortunately seems to be a big divide between the Republican leadership of the General Assembly and where North Carolinians are at is Medicaid expansion. Support for that seems only to grow. I think it was basically 2-1, as I read in the poll, and it's a shrinking number of people who are opposed to Medicaid expansion. And indeed, I don't believe your poll probably informed people about the new pot sweetener that's been included in the American Rescue Plan that would actually make it almost free for North Carolina to take this step.
Yeah, and so again, we did not, because as we were compiling the questions, that had not been signed into law. But you're right. You know, we have polled on this before and found that, you know, 2 years ago, there was still strong support for expanding Medicaid. That has grown slightly, even without that pot sweetener in the American Rescue Act. But, you know, again, the likelihood of it passing the General Assembly this year is almost nothing, none. And so, you know, again, it's that disconnect between elected officials and the citizens of the state on key issues that impact those citizens is remarkable.
One of the things I've been struck by is that in recent days we've actually seen some Republican officials in other states. I believe Wyoming's now moving in this direction. They who are just saying, look, we see the handwriting on the wall. The Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act is here to stay. We don't really see any other way to cover the people in our state who are uninsured. We're going to do this, even if maybe it's not our dream solution. But for whatever reason, Senator Phil Berger, is it because, and I think Senator Phil Berger probably is the principal roadblock here, he and his team in the Senate, do you think they just perceive that it's that their core constituency just isn't going to object, even if they take the stance? Maybe that's even a stance that many Republicans would favor?
Well, you know, as we saw with Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act, it was very controversial, pretty big split between Democrats and Republicans from 2010 to 2014. But once it was implemented, we saw some lessening of the opposition. So we've seen around the state in Ohio with a Republican governor and other states that have done Medicaid expansion, once it's implemented, it becomes more popular. And so it's the kind of thing where, you know, I suspect that would happen in North Carolina, sort of the build it and they will come kind of idea. But, you know, again, the roadblock is pretty clear. And I think you've identified, you know, at least one of the major roadblocks in Senator Berger. And that's why it's unlikely to come up. Particularly in the Senate, obviously. Yet, you know, we look around the country and many Republican states have implemented it. It's less costly to the states with the new sweetener in the Rescue Act. So
we'll see. It's amazing. Yeah. We're coming to the end of our time with Professor David McLennan of Meredith College, but I did want to ask one last question. You did actually, it's a long way away. Well, maybe not that far away. The 2022 election for the U.S. Senate seat that Richard Burr has told us he's vacating. Already a lot of people have declared or indicated an interest in it or maybe just hinted at it. Numbers reflect the fact that a lot of people aren't familiar with some of the candidates, but there's some interesting results you found.
Yeah, and particularly on the Republican side, about 40% of Republicans who indicated they were going to vote in the Republican primary said that they just weren't sure. It was just, you know, either they didn't know who the candidates were, or weren't following it, whatever it may be. But of those who said they would vote in the Republican primary, Laura Trump, the daughter-in-law of the former president, was at least the top vote-getter, so to speak, with former Governor McCrory being in second place, but not, you know, it wasn't an overwhelming amount that said Laura Trump should be the nominee. On the Democratic side, you know, again, it was a majority of people who said they'd vote in the Democratic primary just said it was, they don't know, which indicates, again, some of it was lack of familiarity with the candidates. They haven't got their head around the fact that we have another election cycle starting, whatever it may be. And I can certainly understand that attitude.
Well, David, thanks so much for doing this. We really appreciate having you on. Folks, check them out online. Where should folks look for the poll results online, David?
Well, we have our own Meredith Poll website, so they can Google Meredith Poll, and we have not only the current Meredith Poll results, but they can go back if they're insomniacs and go back through all the poll reports we have produced over the years and see what kind of trends they can find.
Folks, check them out. David, thanks so much. We'll do this again real soon.
Thanks, Rob.
Well, that's it for this edition of News and Views. Remember, you can check us out online and subscribe for free to some of our state's best news coverage and political commentary at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Henkel, this is Rob Schofield. Thanks for joining us. If you haven't done so already, please sign up to get vaccinated. Stay safe by following the pandemic safety protocols, and we'll talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to News and Views. A weekly look at state and policy issues is a production of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com.